I want to turn to a section in Zephaniah I was sharing with Pastor Bill earlier. If you've got your Bible, turn it to Zephaniah 3. I know it's not a normal scripture we'll return to. I mean, Zephaniah, some people don't even know it's in the Bible. It's at the end of the Old Testament almost. If you're to Zechariah, you're a little too far, so back up just a little bit to Zephaniah. And in chapter 3, there is a verse starting at verse 16 that I wanted to share with you and just encourage you. It says, in the day of the Lord, in that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Do not fear. Let not your hands be weak, because the Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save, and He will rejoice over you with gladness, and He will quiet you with His love. That's verse 17 out of chapter 3. He will quiet you with His love, and He will rejoice over you with singing. I love that. I read that today, and I was just thinking about how God is truly the King over all the earth. And earlier in chapter 2, He says in verse 11 through the prophet Zephaniah, He says that the Lord will be awesome, that He will reduce to nothing all of the gods of the earth. I just want you to think about that for a few seconds. He will reduce to nothing all of the gods of the earth. And then it goes on to say, and it says, people will worship Him. He will reduce all the gods of the earth to nothing, and people will worship Him. Oh, Father God, I worship You right now, and I just hear the words of that prophet, and I hear so much of Scripture that says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that You are Lord, that You are high and lifted up, that You are above all things. Yes. But God, right now in my heart, I lift You up. You are the Lord of my life. You are the Lord over this time. And God, just as what you said right there, that when You are with us in our midst, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Our hands don't have to be weak, but You are mighty and You are going to save. And right now You're going to fill our hearts with gladness, and You will quiet us with Your love. Let the words of that prophet be true even right now in our hearts, Lord, in the midst of some chaos and lots of changes. Lord, quiet our hearts with Your love. Because You love us, we have nothing to fear. And I thank You, Jesus, that You rejoice over us right now.
Unmatched in all Your wisdom. only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher.
That's never going to change.
Yes.
We recognize it, and the world will recognize it as well. He is the only King. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Forever victorious.
Changes us, changes. breathe upon our hearts. Come now and have your way. When you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. What we see when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we see when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we see when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we see, we change it
couple of days. I've really been trying to determine what direction we should take. I mean, everything is changing around us. We're not quite sure how the world is going to respond. We're not quite sure what the government's going to do next. I mean, we've been in this thing for just a little more than a week, and it seems like it's been a month, right?
I know.
And so one of the things that I believe the Lord is saying to us is that we are at the point of change. That it's time for us to change our focus, change just the general demeanor that we have as Christians. I think it's easy to fall into the same pattern of the world and look at things and be concerned beyond what is reasonable when you know who God is. One of the scriptures that came to mind is 2 Timothy 1:6, where it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." There, I think the church in this time needs to be stirred up. I think we need to be stirred and not shaken.
Amen.
I think that's something from James Bond. Stirred but not shaken. And part of what I'm hoping that changes is that we can be a little more upbeat, a little more lively, a little more jovial, rather than the sad faces that the world can present to us and all of the dour predictions that are coming our way. Come on, the whole world is being shaken now. We should be those who are being stirred. We should be stirred up. This should be putting you into a whole different mindset as to how you are going to approach life. As that song said, we have expectations. We come to God with our expectations, and those expectations need to rise up from where we have allowed them to be, to stir us up to good works, to stir us up to greater faith. Here's a scripture from Hebrews chapter 10 that also struck me in the last couple of days. Hebrews 10, verses 23 and 25. It says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And I hate to say it, but I've seen a lot of wavering. I've seen a lot of wavering, and I'm not just talking about in the world, within the church. There's some wavering that's been going on, but let us not be those who waver. Let us not be those who are shaken by this. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This is right along what you were speaking about earlier today, about how we need to begin reaching out. Let us consider one another in order to stir up, there we are, stirring again, What are we stirring up? Love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And unfortunately, we're not all in the same room, but we are together, are we not?
Amen.
Amen. We are together here tonight, and we're so glad that you have joined us, but we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Man, that stirs me up. And so turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And what I love about that is it talks about what might be on many people's minds, the day of the Lord. Like, is this the end? Is this the end? It's the end of everything.
If you know, so, rejoice, right?
So let's rejoice. It's the end of the world. No. So there are even unbelieving people who don't even go to church. They see the things going around, and I think somewhere in the back of their brains, they're thinking apocalypse.
Right.
Zombie apocalypse, or the end of the world, or an asteroid is bound to hit the earth today, you know, or, you know, the economy's going to be, or whatever it might be. But and then even Christians, we begin to then, now is the time we go back and refresh our brains on all of end time prophecy. What's going to happen when Jesus comes back? And so I go to 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 5, it addresses the coming day of the Lord. You know, when it gets to the point where all of the ungodliness and the sinful junk in the world, he is going to judge. And he's going to judge me, he's going to judge you, he's going to judge everything. And but instead of fear, it's amazing. Here in chapter 5, if you look there at verse 4, it says, I think it's verse 4, I can't really read it there. It says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness.
That's right. Not us.
You're not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief, something to be afraid of, you know what I mean? And when I was younger, I was definitely afraid of that thought of, what if God comes back before I'm married, before I have kids? Oops. And or all other stuff. I mean, there's so many things that are wrapped up into what if. And you, at the end of it, all those fears, when you're a believer, you will know the signs just as easy as telling the temperature change and the seasonal changes and things like that. And even knowing that the season is ripe for Christ's return, you have a hope, and you don't act like a person who doesn't have hope. In other words, you're not asleep and you're not blind to what's going on. You are, comparatively speaking, you're in the light while other people are in the dark. And so in the light, I love what it says right here as an encouragement. So do you want to read that? Because I'm having a hard time reading it. So just read from verse 4 through about verse 10.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. We are of the day, not of the night. Let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Ah. In fact, it goes on. Therefore, comfort each other. Hopefully, this is comforting you. This is the word to spread.
Huh?
Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing.
So I like it because it's another section in a Pauline epistle where we're told to put on some armor. And he says, a breastplate of faith and love. And what we're convinced of, what we're persuaded of, and then of love. And where a lot of people don't put on love right now. They put on all kinds of stuff. Selfishness. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today, how a lot of times when things are going crazy, people take care of themselves first.
That's right.
It's like the airplane is going down. We lost cabin pressure. And it's like, put your mask on yourself. Well, we take it to a total extreme. It's like me, my wife, my kids, my job, my family, my house. Let the neighbor just suffer. You know what I mean?
Let me clear the store shelves for everything in my house.
And I was reminded, you know, at the end of the 1800s, when the yellow fever scare came through, there were believing doctors and people who refused to leave towns when everyone else was panicking because they were literally dying. And we're not talking a 1% death rate or a little more than that. You're talking an entire town would die, just wiped out. And they would say, we will not leave our post. We're going to help until the last ounce of strength is left in my body or until I die. And I'm like, that is a resolve that if we see it in history from time to time, people giving all, we as Christians should not be so consumed with our own personal needs that we are blind to what is really going on right around us.
That's right.
And I started to feel like this is a time to be a light and a testimony. This is when we love our neighbors, we talk to people, we share our faith in Christ, we put on love, and people see us and they're like, wow, that you're different. You know, I wave at everyone in front of my house, and I even like go out, hey, how's it going? And you can tell there are some people, as they're walking, they hear me, but they do this. And they look down because I don't know if they think talking will somehow catch something.
You are farther than 6 feet away from them.
Oh, I am totally in their business. I'm like 12 inches away from them. No, and I chase them down the sidewalk. I'm like, don't go. Come in, have some coffee. You know, but it cracks me up that some people have forgot to even just to wave and be nice. And it's sad. I asked the cash register lady at the grocery store, how are you doing? I guess I'm doing okay. It's like, is life okay right now for you? I was like, I just wanted to know. And you know, they couldn't stop talking. They wanted to talk about everything. And I just asked a little, I just wanted to show a little care. But I read this and I think I need to put on that breastplate of faith and love. But then in addition to that, I couldn't help but see the metaphor, the helmet of salvation, but it says, specifically, the helmet of salvation, because we weren't intended for wrath. And I love that.
Not us.
Because it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do in people's lives or even in our life. God's purposes will remain. And what he has purposed for me and for you and for us, that's what's going to work out. And he's going to work it all out for that purpose. So even if he wants to take me out, you know, take me home, Lord Jesus. It's going to be for my salvation, for my good, and not for wrath and all that other stuff. And I love thinking about the purposes of God, too, in these times. So, one of the purposes is to worship the Lord, right?
Amen.
So let's sing another song in worship and just love on the Lord.
All I seek, and without it,
am sure that in these times there are testimonies that God is building. So before we close, how about we share a couple testimonies? Part of the reason why I'm thinking about that is, you know how it says in Revelations that we will defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? You don't get a testimony without a test.
So true.
It's without a trial, without a sense of, oh no, you don't ever get to go through it and then go, hey, but God. And you know, and it's good to hear testimonies. And so maybe in closing, let's share some testimonies. And one of the things that I'm seeing already that the Lord is challenging me in, I have never been forced to worship in this way or minister in this way before. It's a brand new situation, and it feels weird. It just feels different.
It is different.
It's just so different. And the distractions are overwhelming at times because of everything that you have to do in order to minister on some level. And it's challenging, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is amazing. So what I'm thinking about is how the words of wisdom or a sense of prophetic discerning of something going on and lifting it up in prayer, I have seen that through these times of praying and just worshiping, God would drop something in my mind and I'll just bring it up in prayer, and I can't, while I'm worshiping or praying, I'm not able to see what's going on actually. I don't know what people are posting or what they're praying about or any of those things. And yet I've heard already, there'll be something that God will put in my heart, I'll speak it out and begin to pray, and then someone will say, hey, that's exactly what's going on, or thank you, you were praying and this is exactly what I was needing. And and it's goofy, but there are things that the Lord has been stirring in spiritual gifts while I've been doing this that I haven't sensed God stirring in that way in a long time, and it really gets me excited to think about all that the Lord does. Anytime, I just believe this, anytime we are made uncomfortable and we lean into the Lord, it's like He's stretching us as a wineskin and He's filling us up again. And I feel that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit because I've been stretched. So my testimony is I'm sensing a freshness of the Holy Spirit, and it's all due because I'm being stretched. And so it's a wonderful testimony. And then beyond that, I am just thankful that the Lord sustains. I am thankful for the Lord's direction and wisdom. You know, 2 months ago, Brother Bill, we really didn't have any of this stuff, did we?
No.
We didn't have any streaming stuff other than Debbie and Trisha's phones that we were using.
That's right.
And which, I mean, that would have been great, but I don't think they'd be committing to come to service all the time and do it. So it's funny because the Lord stirred my heart to, like, well, do something. Let's just make it better and more consistent. I had no idea we would be needing it as much as we're needing it now.
That's
so
right.
Thank God for that. And so anyway, I'm praising the Lord for that. And so any praise reports, testimonies you want to encourage everybody with tonight?
I'll share a little bit. And before we close, I've got a little story I got to share.
But
on the testimony side, I'm sure I'm not the only person like this, but because there is so much going on in such, it seems like a very short span of time, the brain is on overdrive, always thinking ahead and always wondering. And yeah, it's just, and so I have spent a lot of time thinking. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just start thinking. I'm not fearful. I'm just thinking, okay, how can I take care of this? And what opportunities can I take advantage of? You know, because this is an unusual time. And if you are just taking this as a hunker down and hide out and, you know, till it all blows over, I think you're missing the opportunity that we have in the Lord. And so I have been just very much in thought about a lot of things going in a lot of different directions, and I have to praise God for His Spirit that brings comfort, that brings reassurance in this time. I can honestly say fear has not been an issue for me. Concern about the future has not been an issue for me. My biggest issue is trying to sort it all out in my brain right now as far as how can I take advantage of what God is doing. And I think you said something earlier. What is God doing? If you haven't thought about God in this whole process, what is God doing? And what is God going to accomplish through all of this that's happening, not here only in the, you know, Northeast Wisconsin area, but in our state, in our nation, in the world? What is God doing right now behind the scenes that we don't see? And what is He preparing? I'm just wanting to encourage you to just be comforted in the fact that God is on the throne. He is the Lord God Almighty. And you can rest in that. And I'm serious about just being able to rest. Even though, you know, we all have to make adjustments on a daily basis. I mean, every day I get a different email from work about some new procedure, something that's changed, and wondering if the job that we have scheduled tomorrow is going to hold up because other people might can't. You know, you can spend an awful lot of time bouncing back and forth. Just rest and receive His peace and His reassurance, because I tell you what, it's all going to work out for your good in the end. It's all going to work out for your good in the end.
I think that's in Romans somewhere, isn't it?
I don't know. Is that?
Oh, man. God is so good. Well, from a younger perspective, what can you testify about?
Well, no matter what kind of, like, path you have for yourself, and I thought I had one path for myself after high school, and it changed so many different times, and I would visit the college that I thought, this is the place I'm going to, and I'd be like, whoa, this is not the right place. Then I'd go to the next, and I'm like, okay, this is it. And then a little bit later, I'd be like, just kidding, that's definitely not it. And I didn't even realize that God was working something totally different and so much better for me. And then now, I've just been accepted to a worship leading school in Florida.
Yay.
And I feel so much peace about it, and I truly feel that that's something that God was like, you can play around with those other colleges, but I have something for you later whenever you're ready. Whenever it comes around, I have it for you. And so here we are. And so praise God that I got in and that we're headed in a great direction.
Amen. That's wow. Exciting. Worldwide announcement right here, live.
Live on the interweb. And, you know, the funny thing is isn't it weird how when we go through chaos, we think in such short-sighted ways, we forget that God is able, He has got a whole plan. There's more right. He's doing, and it's beyond today, and we don't know what He might be doing through a temporary ugh to shape us and to maybe shape someone else. It's because He's God and He knows how to work all that out. And so then what do? It's like what we read in Zephaniah. Just let His love quiet you sometimes because we get so worked up, like rest. I love that. And so I'm going to rest tonight. Believe me, Pastor Ben is going to sleep good tonight.
Amen.
And I pray everybody else sleeps good tonight. And I guarantee you that Jesus is not stressed. He is sleeping good tonight.
This didn't take Him by surprise.
It doesn't take Him. You know, He watched the markets go up and down. He didn't even bat an eye.
That's right.
But praise God that He is our rock. Amen. Well, do you want to share something before we close and pray, and then we'll close it out?
As I mentioned, I think it's time now for us to change, to turn that corner away from, you know, the worry, the concern, the sadness, and start being a little lighter in our heart. And I heard or read a good story from the wife of a pastor of the church we used to go to when we were in Missouri. This is just...
Wait a minute, back up. You lived in Missouri.
In Missouri.
Man, I heard some people pronounce that misery.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I can see Sarah right now just being at rest and peace. All right. So this pastor and his wife, they on occasion will lead tours to Israel. and recently they were on a tour to Israel, and she shared a picture that she had taken, and the story behind that picture, they were in Israel, her and a pastor were driving along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and the sun was setting, and there was just a beautiful shine of gold on the water, and she said, stop, got to get out and take a picture. And so she did. She gets out, she goes, and he's staying right there, stop, and she's taking a picture, and she gets the picture that she wants, and then she goes back to the car and hops in. She's still, you know, looking at the beauty on the water, and she hears the guy behind them honking their horn, and he's just honking, and she's thinking, well, you know, why aren't you moving ahead? And but that guy's honking, and she's wondering, what is up with this? And so she turned back to look at what the problem was with that guy back there, and, well, it was her husband that was honking the horn. She had gotten into the wrong car, and she looked to the side, and it was just some Israeli guy who didn't speak English, and he was surprised, and so she figured that out. But, you know, the message that I got out of all of that was, it is so easy for us to get our eyes off of the Lord, get our eyes distracted, and we forget that right there, God is with us. In fact, I'm sure for some of us, he's honking the horn going, come on, get back into the right car. Come on, get back where you belong. Don't make the mistake of going off with the wrong crowd. You come and you hang out with me. So that was my... a little lighthearted.
But the guy drove off. He drove off. She got in the car and he's like, well, so what was he praying
for?
No,
he didn't drive.
He didn't drive.
No, he was just waiting for her to get out and wondering what she was doing in his car. So,
Oh, that's just awesome. That is just awesome.
I thought that was a great story and a great analogy of us.
Well, do you want to pray and bless everybody as we close?
Yes. Lord, you are the reason we can laugh and smile and enjoy all that you have blessed us with. We're thankful, Lord God, that we could meet as we are here tonight, that we could have others joining us, not only in our city, but around the world. I'm sure there are people that have tuned in at one time or another. And Lord, I pray that as we continue in these interesting days, that again, Lord, you would continue to bring your peace, that you would continue to show yourself mighty on our behalf. I just declare, Lord, you are our strength. You are our tower. You are the rock that we can hold on to in whatever trial or tribulation that may come our way. You are the one who is going to oversee all of the parts of our life that are necessary. And I'm reminded of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake, Lord, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love that you have for us. From the love that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let us know that love. Let us be distributors of that love to others around us. Let us not only bless the body of believers that we are joined together with at Visible Church, but also, Lord God, let us reach out to those who need that comfort, who need a touch of love from the Lord. And we thank you for this night, Lord, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, blessings to you all. Oh.